One of every six American families now lives in a multi-generational household, three generations or more under one roof. That's a huge increase over the last few decades. It's a huge change in American life, and it can be a huge financial and emotional challenge for the people living in those households, people we are learning from in a series we call Family Matters. Last week, our Morning Edition colleague David Green introduced us to three families we're following over these weeks, 8 weeks in total. Hi, David.
Hi, Steve.
He's back with us again. And who are we visiting this week?
Well, one of our families, Steve, lives in Capitol Heights, Maryland, and they're dealing with all the pressures that you're talking about. And the first voice you're going to hear is Natasha Shimon Gilmore. She's 58 years old. She works as a computer trainer at a nonprofit, and she lives in one of these multi-generation households. She lives with her husband, also her 24-year-old son, and her father, Franklin Brunson. Now, he had been living in North Carolina until about 2 years ago, and that's when Natasha got this anonymous phone call that really changed her life.
Someone called me and said, "Hi, you don't know me. Are you Mr. Brunson's daughter?" I said, "Yes, I am." They said, "Your dad's in trouble." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I immediately packed up and went to North Carolina.
And so, Steve, she found her father totally confused, an elderly man, his finances in disarray. And Natasha realized at that moment that she had to move him back home with her to Maryland.
It doesn't sound like this is something the family was expecting.
It wasn't something they were expecting at all. I mean, they were totally unprepared. You know, Natasha lives in this cramped two-bedroom house. There wasn't really room to move her elderly father in, so the family had a friend put up this makeshift drywall in the middle of the living room to create a bedroom for him.
So he's living with them now, and I suppose they were hoping that he could be reasonably self-sufficient.
Reasonably, but that hasn't turned out to be the case. So Franklin Brunson, he's 81 years old, and he has dementia, and it's just gotten worse and worse. He's also a man who's partially blind. And last winter, the family just had this awful scare. Mr. Brunson was kind of having a bad day. He wanted to escape the house, and he took off with Natasha, his daughter's car, and he went missing, Steve, for 2 days.
He ended up on the wrong side of the road, driving up and down on black ice, and residents called the state troopers, and the state troopers got him and put the car to the side.
And so, Steve, Franklin Brunson did make it home okay, but, I mean, you can just imagine how frightening this was. It was, of course, a real turning point. Natasha realized that she just couldn't leave her dad alone anymore. And I met Natasha. She's this tall, elegant woman. She was in a business suit the morning we spoke, ready to go to her full-time job. She loves her father so much, but you can just feel the stress that she's feeling right now.
So in the morning, my head's spinning because I'm thinking of all things that have to be done. And it's a lot, anyway.
And so, Steve, one decision that she made, one thing that she did, was she decided to put her father in an adult day center during the day. It was an emotional decision, but if she was going to keep working full-time, she had to find a place for her father to go. And we really wanted to understand what a place like this is like, and also how much it costs. I mean, this is an expensive decision for a family. And so we went along with Natasha's dad, Franklin Brunson, to the Crescent Ridge Adult Day Center outside Washington, D.C.
Good morning.
Mr. Brunson, hello.
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great now that I see you.
The several dozen residents who spend their days here suffer from dementia, Alzheimer's, or various brain injuries. Now, when we spent some time with Franklin Brunson early in the morning at his daughter's house, he seemed antsy, really quiet. He spent most of the time staring blankly. But his energy and personality burst out during the day. A few minutes after Natasha drops him off, Brunson is holding court at a round table in the center's sun-splashed main room. I asked him about something I'd heard, that he was one heck of a bowler.
I hear you're the bowling champion.
No, I'm not a bowling champion. If I was, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Brunson and his friends spend hours talking about whatever happens to be on their minds. Today, it's death. They were chatting about musicians who've died young, like Whitney Houston.
Did she have to die? Why she died earlier? We don't know. At least that's what I was telling her. I do not know.
Brunson wasn't just thinking about the untimely death of a singer. He was reflecting on the clock running out on his own life.
That was her time. Her time would go, not mine.
These kinds of interactions are no accident. One of the goals of adult day centers is to keep the mind working. And we wanted to talk about that with the director here.
Hi, how you doing?
Corey O'Dall is the psychologist who directs Crescent Ridge, and he says the care here is more meaningful if families catch dementia or Alzheimer's early.
This is usually the right option when it's early diagnosis, when we're realizing that mom and dad can no longer stay at home, when we're realizing that they need social oversight, when they need supervision, when they need medical oversight.
This decision about how to care for an elderly parent when a disease like dementia sets in is one facing more and more people.
Years ago, elderly parents didn't live as long as they do today.
And the fact that people are living longer puts more financial pressures on the people caring for them. Attending Crescent Ridge costs $78 a day. It's pretty typical for adult day centers like this. Medicaid will cover some or all of the cost. Families who don't qualify for Medicaid often come for a tour of Corey's adult day center and then leave, realizing they just can't afford the cost out of pocket. But financial pressures aside, the emotion Corey often sees when a new family comes in is confusion.
There are people that will walk into the door and say, I don't know what to do. All I know is that I need help with my mom or my dad or my grandmother or my grandfather.
And help can mean many different things.
Okay, we're gonna eat. You ready to eat?
Yum, yum.
Okay. One of the other families we're following lives here in an apartment south of Baltimore. They, too, are caring for a loved one with dementia, and they've made an entirely different choice. Yolanda Hunter says her family never considered an adult day center for her grandmother.
They let them sit, they'll give them their lunch, and then that's it. So it's extremely expensive, but you're not paying for quality.
Quality care is what Yolanda says she gives her grandmother personally. Right, 2 years ago, she quit her job to become a full-time caregiver. She spends every day with her grandmother, Ida Christian.
Sing your favorite song.
What is my favorite song?
Okay, I'm going to say the first couple words. It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to talk it to. Oh, it's your thing. Blah, blah, blah.
And so, Steve, I've just been hearing a lot of touching moments like these.
That's NPR's David Greene. And, David, as people are listening, I'm sure there are many, many people, maybe millions of people hearing this story who can directly relate to it in their own lives. Is there some place that people can go to share their stories or even find each other?
Yeah, and I mean, that is really one of the things we want to do with this series, make it a real conversation. And listeners who are hearing these stories, they can go to our Morning Edition Facebook page and certainly share their stories and experiences.
You can also go to NPR.org, where you can find pictures of the three families David is following. David, we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, Steve.